God's people everywhere. We just are so thankful today for the amazing things that we know God is going to do today. Do you know this is the way that God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice? That in this very moment, God is bringing you to a place in the realm of the Spirit where you will be able to override, overturn, and overcome every strategy, every plan, and every device of the enemy. I'm so honored today to have a mighty man of God, a general in the kingdom of our Father. Bishop Charles Sare is a great pastor from Ghana. He pastors Perez Chapel. I've had the privilege to minister in that church, and it's just an amazing, amazing place where God's people are healing, deliverance, peace, great victories. He's a founder of the Precious Television and the Chancellor of Paris University and College. He's authored so many books, and I am so honored and privileged to call him a brother, a friend, a peer in the kingdom of God, co-laborer and of our Heavenly Father. I'm so joyed to have him with us today. Bishop, before I turn this over to you, I remember the first time I got to experience your presence. You'd come up, I don't know what seat it was, but it was at MCWA conference. You just walked up and you said, if something similar to this, I don't know the exact words right now. If you're crippled and you want healed, just walk to me now. There was no praying. There was none of that. And about 20-something, 23 maybe or so people just left their seats, and they brought their cane, carrying their canes, and you started collecting canes. You were the cane and crushes that day. I said, oh my God, look at what God is doing right here, right now. This is what God is doing right now. And I want you to know that there is power available for your miracle this very moment. Don't wait for this man of God to pray before you receive your miracle. Just know that the word of God is sent, and whatever it is that you need shall be addressed by the Heavenly Father, who loves you more than he loves our prayers. He loves you. Bishop, it's such an honor. I turn this over to you at this point, and we just celebrate the goodness of God in your life, and we are set to receive what the Father has for us through your mouth.
Amen. Bishop Zeno, it's a pleasure to team up with you. Over the years, we've teamed up and done ministry around the globe, and also standing with Papa Serulu. And I'm glad that you've been a blessing to our church a number of times, and what a great ministry and powerful ministry you have. I mean, you've been in ministry for over 40 years, and wow, that is awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Your epistles are all over the place. The people you've impacted all over the nations. It's a great honor to be part of what God is doing with you. And looking at you, you don't seem to have been affected by the COVID at all. The glory of the Lord has been your protection and your covering. We thank God for your life. And I want to say a big, bring a warm greeting to. I remember the number of times we've fellowshiped together with you, your wife, and my wife. It's been a great time. And so sharing your platform today, it's an honor for me to share your platform today. Thank you for granting me the space. And so in the next few minutes, I'm going to be sharing what the Lord has put on my heart. But because we are getting into Easter, we are preparing for Easter, I would say a few things about the blood. I'll be talking about the blood of the new covenant. But let me tell you a very funny story. There was a man who traveled with his nagging wife to Jerusalem for vacation. And then while they were there, suddenly the wife died. And then the funeral company told the man that it will cost $45,000 to ship her home, or $5,000 to bury her in Jerusalem. And the man said, ship her home. And the owner of the funeral home said, I mean, why will you go to that expense? He said, in this city of Jerusalem, it's a place where a man called Jesus died and was raised. I can't take that risk. We are talking about this Jesus who rose from the dead. We are preparing to talk about this Jesus who rose from the dead.
Hallelujah.
But it's important to remember that Jesus left heaven to come down to the earth so that he could shed his blood for us, so that we could be saved and we could be touched and we could be healed, we could be delivered, we could be set free. And so we are honored that Jesus could do that. But you see, there are times when we just say that Jesus left heaven to the earth. At times people don't understand what we mean, because for Jesus to do that, it was a great sacrifice. He sacrificed his heavenly home, a place of joy, peace, and happiness, where there is no fear of being attacked by armed robbers or being raped, or there's no wickedness. I mean, in Job chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Where Jesus came from, the wicked cease from troubling anybody, and the weary are at rest. In fact, talking about heaven, there are five things that reveal heaven that I want to touch briefly before we plug into the blood that he shed. Because if he left heaven, we must understand that heaven, number one, is a place that is filled with glory. And the Bible tells us that God will guide us with his counsel, and afterward, he will receive us to glory. Psalm 73, verse 24, heaven is filled with the glory of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that in heaven, we don't need the light of the sun or the moon, because the glory of the Lord itself is the light in the place. The second thing I want to touch briefly about heaven is that it's a city made of gold. The streets are made of gold and the gates are made of pearls, according to Revelation 21:21. Now, our cities, our streets are made with tar or asphalt. And our gates are made with wood. But where Jesus came from, where he left, the streets are, you know, there are times when Christians get a little wealth, people have a problem, forgetting that the God we serve is a God of, he's not just a God of wealth. In fact, what matters to us, which is gold, is what he uses to pave his streets. His streets are paved with gold. Now, human beings, we use pearls to decorate our rings and decorate our necklaces. Now, God doesn't use pearls. We get a little piece. But God, the gates of heaven, the Bible says, are made with pearl. I mean, one gate is made with one giant pearl. And there are 12 major gates in the new heaven and the new Jerusalem and the new heaven. And the Bible tells us that the gold on the streets of heaven is made with transparent gold, as transparent glass. You look through it and you can see through the gold. Now, this is the place Jesus left. And you have to understand that when Jesus came, he didn't come at a time when there was asphalt on the streets. He didn't come at a time when there was electricity. He came at a time when the cows and the sheep will walk the streets, and you walk the streets and your slippers will take the dust and slap it on your legs, and your legs were dirty. And Jesus left heaven, where the streets were made with gold, to come and walk this kind of streets for us. I mean, you can see how much he loved us to do that. The Bible also tells us that heaven has many streets dotted with trees and gardens. Now, can you imagine? I mean, even on earth here, I've been to some places. My goodness, when you look at the gardens and you look at the hedges and the trees, the way they are pruned and the way they are hedged and the way they have trimmed them. Woof. Now, in heaven, we have God himself trimming the trees for you and God himself treating this garden. Now, God has done that before, because when he even made a garden for man in the Garden of Eden, God himself planted the garden and he put us in there. So you can, and the Garden of Eden was awesome. So if the Garden of Eden, that the Bible says heaven is his throne, the earth has he made for the children of men. If the one that he made for the children of men was so glorious, that the Bible tells us that when man sinned, God decided that he would put an angel to guard it, then you can imagine how heaven looks like. And that's where Jesus left. And the Bible also tells us the foundation of the city is garnished with different layers of precious stones. Revelation 21 verses 18 to 20. Now, I'm a builder. I've put up a number of buildings, so I know what it takes to build. If you are building the foundation, you use concrete. And to get concrete, you need to get cement, you need to get gravel, you need to get iron rods and things. It's the rough part of a building. And so, but here we are hearing that the heaven, the city of heaven that we are talking about, the layers are made of precious stones. I mean, so instead of gravels and stones for concrete, God uses precious stones. He uses diamonds. He uses jasper. In fact, some of the stones the Bible mentioned are jasper. And when we talk about jasper, it's clear diamond. When we talk about sapphire, it's clear blue. When we talk about chalcedony, it is silky blue. When we talk about emerald, it is green in color. When we talk about the fifth one, which is sardonyx, it is red and white. It's a red and white precious stone. Then we talk about the sardius, which is red, the chrysolite, which is gold. The eighth one is the beryl, which is sea green. And the Bible talks about topaz, which is yellow green. It talks about chrysoprasus, that is ordinary green. And the other is jacinth, which is violet. And the 12th one, amethyst, which is a purple. Now, these are the kinds of precious stones that God decided he builds heaven with, the foundation of heaven with. Now, Jesus left a place like this. My goodness. To come and walk, these are streets. These are streets. What a sacrifice. Not only did he sacrifice heaven, but Jesus, when he came to the earth, he sacrificed his honor. He sacrificed this honor because Jesus, when he even came on, Jesus was, he's without sin. When he came on the earth, he also did not sin whilst on earth. In 1 Peter 2 verse 22, the Bible says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus is holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners. Jesus is in a class of his own. But he allowed himself, with all this honor, he had allowed himself for sinful man to mock him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 22, verse 6, it says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying. Now, this is a prophetic psalm. In this psalm, when you go further, we see Jesus on the cross and how he said that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, Jesus was saying that the people are seeing me like a worm. They are reproaching me. And the Bible tells us in the Gospels that they spat on him and they mocked him. And some were saying to him, prophesy to us if you are a prophet. Now, Jesus, for him to become sin for us, had to leave his honor of being sinless and take our sin upon himself. Is it not amazing that he allowed himself to be accused as Beelzebub? I mean, they accused him of being Beelzebub or using Beelzebub. They accused him of having an unclean spirit. This is their holy God. They said, they went as far as saying that he was not of God. They accused him of being a sinner. At a certain time, they even said he was mad. In fact, in John 10, 20, they said, and many of them said, he has a devil and he's mad. So why should we listen to him? I mean, he left his honor. Some went as far as accusing him of making himself God. I mean, they were accusing him, the Lord of glory. They looked in the face of the Lord of glory and they were accusing him. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible tells us, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, Jesus is the prince of the kings. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But Jesus allowed himself to be dishonored. He left his honor so that he could shed his blood, so that you and I could be saved. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he allow himself to be crucified, to shed his blood? Because in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, and almost all things by the law are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Now, Christianity is a bloody religion because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that set up Christianity. When I talk about Christianity being a bloody religion, I'm not talking about in terms of violence. But you see, for us, the blood is the power of God. The Bible tells us in Revelation 12, 11, it says we overcome him, or we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. As for us, the blood is important to us. The blood of Jesus Christ is important to us, as bloody as it is. Now, let me briefly, if the blood is so important, what can the blood do for you and I? Because at a season like this, if you understand the power or the efficacy of the blood, you are able to benefit and receive. I'm glad that, Bishop Zeno, you've given me this platform to be able to share with people. And I know there are some who are hurting, and I know there are some who are sick, and I know there are some who are going through one thing or the other. I tell you, the key is the power in the blood of Jesus. And so I quickly want to say a few things about the blood. The first thing I want to talk about the blood is that the blood of Jesus was shed. And the blood of Jesus was shed in seven different places. I want to talk about the seven different places where his blood was shed and what it signifies and it means to us. The first place Jesus shed his blood was during his circumcision. On the eighth day, Luke tells us that on the eighth day, as it was accomplished, there was the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Galatians, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, is a debtor to the law. You see, Jesus shed his blood at circumcision to keep all the law. He had to fulfill the law without blemish. Now, he did that so that you and I can have the power to walk and live by the law, so that we will not be under the bondage of the law, but we will live above the dictates of the law. What I say about the dictates of the law said that you shall not commit adultery. But when Jesus said, he said, when you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery. Now, it takes something else for you to be able to say that you are not going to walk in lust. And that is what the blood of Jesus came to do. Or that is why Jesus fulfilled the law, so that he could come and live in us, so that the life I now live, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Oh, give him praise and give him thanks, somebody. And so Jesus fulfilled the law so that you and I will be empowered to fulfill the law. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. So Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. There are times some Christians say that, well, we are not under the law, we are under grace. Oh, yes, it is true, we are not under the law. But you see, it means that the law is lesser than what we are supposed to, God is expecting of us. And he has empowered us to be able to do that. And the joy of it is that he says that it is Christ who worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So now it is not just by your will nor by your power, but it by Christ who empowers you to do it. Now, the second place Jesus shed his blood was in Gethsemane. where he was sweating. In Luke 22, verse 44, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see, in the Garden of Eden, Adam lost his authority in the garden. Jesus won for us in another garden. So in one garden, authority was lost. In another garden, we regain authority. In one garden, that Adam could not say, God, your will be done. He yielded to the devil. But in another garden, Jesus was able to overcome the devil when he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible tells us that whilst in the garden, as he prayed, his sweat was like great drops of blood. Now, that is what is called in medicine as hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is the medical term for sweating blood, where you go through extreme stress levels, and normally is when people are facing death. It causes their capillaries to break in the sweat glands, and they begin to sweat blood. Now, Jesus, why would Jesus be stressed? He was stressed because he became sin for us. Jesus had never known sin. And to take the sin of the world upon himself, it was so much stress. And you see, the meaning of Gethsemane is an oil press. Gethsemane means an oil press. So whilst Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was being pressed by our sin. And our sin so pressed him that he began to sweat blood. So that you and I, if he's stressed for us, you and I must not stress anymore. Jesus was in fear in the Garden of Gethsemane. If he feared for us, you and I should not fear anymore. He panicked in the Garden of Gethsemane and yielded his panic to the Lord. If he panicked, you and I should not panic anymore. He was fretting. He was saying, God, let this cup pass away. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He fretted so that you and I will not fret anymore. He went through this struggle that some would say he was losing his mind, but he did it so that you and I will not lose our minds, so that you and I will be covered by the power of the Holy Ghost. The third place Jesus shed his blood was when they put the crown of thorns on his head, and the crown of thorns pierced his head. He bled, according to Matthew chapter 27, verses 29 to 30, and the people were spitting on him. But you see, thorns in scripture are always connected to curses. They are connected to poverty, and they are connected to painful work. Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head so that you and I, every curse of poverty, every curse of painful work, there are some of us who have been working. We are putting in maximum effort. We are getting minimum results. But Jesus went to the cross so that it will no longer be your maximum effort. It will be your minimum effort, but it will draw maximum results, because it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. It is not your labor that gives you the power to get wealth. It is God. If it is labor that gives you the power to get wealth, then in Africa, we have laborers. In Africa, we have people who break their backs, breaking the ground, trying to crack the ground to get something. But those people are not rich. It takes the power, the divine ability, and the divine capacity of God. And so Jesus, they put the crown on his head so that any curse in your family line, because of his blood, that curse is wiped from your family line by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. He bore the curse for you so that you will be free. Poverty is not a blessing, it's a curse. And Jesus bore the curse of poverty so that you can be rich. You know, one of the benefits of our redemption in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says that, and the lamb that was slain, he bought for us riches, glory, and power. One of the things he bought for us, Jesus was slain so that he would secure for us. He would secure for us. It says, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You know, I like the way the Bible says, to receive, the lamb that was slain to receive. Now, John the Revelator was writing this when the Romans ruled the then known world. When the Romans ruled the then known world, when a general went to battle And that general was returning. He led the people they had conquered. They rode in front of him, half naked, in chains, followed by his soldiers. Then the general himself followed. Then, you know, those enemies he had conquered, when they ride in front of him, what he's doing is he's making a public show of them. And the Bible says, Jesus, having conquered or having dealt with principalities and powers, he made a public show of them. So he was demonstrating that he had overpowered the enemy. Now, when this general comes, he climbs the stairs to Caesar. And when he gets to Caesar, Caesar will give him a crown. And when Caesar gave him a crown, he will turn, he receives the crown, and he turns and gives the crown to his wife, who is more than the conqueror. Now, Jesus, when he went to the cross and he shed his blood, the Bible says the lamb that was slain, he received power and riches. And when he received it, he turned to his wife, the church, and said, you are more than conqueror. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. And so by the blood of the Lamb, you and I are more than conqueror. The devil is under our feet. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. The fourth place Jesus shed his blood was when he was nailed to the cross. When he was nailed to the cross, you see, his hands were nailed to the cross. And hands are associated with impartation. Jesus' hands were nailed. And the Bible tells us that God will bless the work of our hands. Jesus' hands were nailed so that every work of your hands will be blessed. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all you set your hand unto. He will bless you in the land which the Lord gives you. And all that you set your hand onto. For some of you, for some time now, everything is going down because of the COVID. Your business is going down. Things are not going your way. But including pastors, but I came today to tell you that by the blood of Jesus, our resurrected King, I mean, whose hands were nailed so that he would shed his blood. Because of that blood, whatever you touch from today, may it be blessed in the name of Jesus. Now, when I talk about the blood of Jesus causing whatever you touch to be blessed, it reminds me of a book we read when we were in primary school. It's called King Midas and the Golden Touch. King Midas was this king of Greece who went to seek power. And he went to seek this power so that everything he touched will be made of gold. And when they gave him the power, everything he touched became gold. Even the water he was drinking became gold. Even his daughter became gold. And he was frustrated. Now, there are times history has a way of portraying some things. And Dr. Serulu used to say that all truths are parallel. Now, if all truths are parallel, the world knows that there are times we are able to secure power from certain sources. Thank God they know that. In the same, you see, if it happens in the natural and in the satanic supernatural, then in the realm of the spirit, Jesus shed his blood so that he will give you divine power so that whatever you touch will be blessed. Now, amongst my people and Africans, we have something we call money medicine. Where in money medicine, you have to get a close relative, you sacrifice the person, and then the occultist will give you power. And they will give, and the money will keep flowing. Now, God wanted to give you money. To give you that money, he needed a close relative so that that relative will be killed in your place so that the money will come. And the Bible says Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brethren. When Jesus went to the cross, God had somebody to die in your place so that you don't have to struggle anymore. So that by the power of God, money will be your portion. He took for us wealth. He took for us riches. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. The fifth place Jesus shed his blood was in his feet. Was in his feet. You see, we always talk about, everything is under my feet. Everything is under my feet. Well, it is true. The Bible tells us that Satan, Satan will be bruised under our feet shortly. Listen, when Jesus' feet were nailed to the cross and he shed his blood, God was empowering us to step on every power of the over the enemy. Jesus, when he sent prophetically his 70 evangelists in Luke chapter 10, they returned, and when they came back, they said, the 70 returned with joy and said, the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus in Luke chapter 10 verse 19 said, behold, I give unto you power to step on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, what Jesus was doing was that he was prophetically empowering you and I, because he was going to go to the cross. He was buying into the mind of the spirit. And after he has shed his blood, the height of the tallest witch in your village, the height of the tallest wizard in your village is under your feet. And that is why, as a child of God, you are not supposed to be afraid of witches and wizards, because look, Jesus was nailed, or Jesus shed his blood in his feet, so that you will have power to tread on them. Look, every power of the occultist, witch doctor, and anybody doesn't work against you. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood to empower you to walk over them. Now, that is why people like us, Bishop Zeno, and some of us, we've been able to travel around the world, gone into countries that people think that they are, you know, they have all the occult power, and we've gone there to preach and break the power of the enemy and return home safely. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood on the cross in his feet, so that we will be empowered to tread on serpents and scorpions. And that is why any black powder in my country, Ghana, there are certain tribes that in the morning when they sprinkle black powder in front of your house and you step in it, you become paralyzed or blind or something happens to you. But you see, the joy of it is that when you know and you have your faith in the power in the blood, you will walk through the black powder and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Look, the sixth place Jesus shed his blood was when his back was beaten. They flogged him with lashes. The Bible says they flogged him with lashes. And when they did, his back was broken. 39 lashes of the flagrum. Now, the flagrum, or the flag, some call it flagrum and some call it flagellum. Now, that is the whip the Roman soldiers used. And the edges of it were either made with iron, sharp iron, or made with broken stones. And they used it to, you know, it's this whip, and they will whip the back of this, and they will pull it, and it will tear his back. Now, those furrows, they gave him 39 lashes of that. And doctors say that when you multiply that by 7, because the whips were made of 7 lashes, you know, and they say when you multiply that 7 by 39, the number you get is the number of diseases we have, the number of major diseases we have. What it simply means is that any the bleeding of Jesus in any of those lashes, any disease with its sub-diseases has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. And so there is nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot heal. And that is why probably you are watching me, and probably you've been knocked down by the coronavirus. I came with good news, and I came to say that by the strength and the power in the blood, you will be revived, and the power of God will energize you. You will be made free in the name of Jesus. One of my sons in Mozambique was attacked by coronavirus. He called me. At the time he called me, he said, Daddy, I can't breathe. I can't breathe, my spiritual sons. He said, my lungs. And I prayed for him. 15 minutes after I prayed for him, the guy who couldn't breathe, suddenly God has supplied supernatural breath. His lungs have been touched. The following day, I mean, normally when you get to that stage, it will take you about a week and a half or more to recover. The following day, the doctors discharged him. Why? Because something entered his body. It's the strength and the power in the blood. May that strength and the power in the blood work for you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should not live any should live unto righteousness, or should not live any longer unto unrighteousness, but by whose stripes you were healed. Not by whose stripes you would be healed. You were already healed. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he took your sickness, he took your pain, he took your suffering. He took it so that you, if you would just believe, it will work for you. The last place Jesus shed his blood is his side. They pierced his side. They pierced the side. And when they pierced the side, it is said that water and blood came from the side. Water and blood came from the side. You know when women are giving birth? When the water breaks, water and blood comes out. So water and blood always signifies newborn babies. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood so that you will be born again, so that you will be a new baby in Christ. If you have lived a life of sin, this is the time for your sins to be forgiven. Listen to me, beloved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He sent Jesus into the world. They crucified him. They pierced his side so that you will be a new person. There is no sin God cannot forgive. There is no sickness God cannot heal. There is no business he cannot touch. He does the impossible, but he does that because he sent his only begotten son to take our place, to shed his blood. And with the shedding of blood, there is remission of sins. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. In the next few minutes, I'll be praying with you. But I want to pray with you if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, his side was pierced so that your sins can be forgiven. I want to pray with you. My Bible says, whosoever shall believe in the name of the Lord, or whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, if we will believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths, we shall be saved. I want you to join me, pray this prayer. If it's possible to lift your hand, lift it and pray this prayer with me. Will you say, dear God, forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus, you died for me. You rose for me. You shed your blood so that my sins will be forgiven. Make me a new person in Jesus' name. Now, I'm sure when Bishop Zeno takes over the microphone, he will show you what to do if you pray that prayer. But if you prayed that prayer, your sins are forgiven. You are never the same. However, I want to pray with you. There are some of you are at the brink of committing suicide. Some of you are sick. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are going through one challenge or the other. Jesus shed his blood so that you will be free. Put your hand on your forehead if it is possible and let us pray. There is no distance in the spirit. There is no distance in the spirit. And so God will touch you. Heavenly Father, I commit your people into your hands and I say, Satan, you know me, you would obey me. I don't come in my name. I come in that powerful and miraculous name of Jesus, that name that overcame you over 2,000 years ago. And I bind every spirit of eye problem, every spirit of ear problem, every spirit of back problem, every spirit of heart problem, every spirit of diabetes, every spirit of liver problem and kidney problem and lung problem. Every respiratory problem, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And right now, I command you to break loose your hold over God's property. Every spirit of paralysis and stroke, every spirit of weakness, be bound. Break loose your hold in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Let them go free. I ask that eyes will be healed, ears will be healed, backs will be healed, mental problems will go. I take authority over suicidal spirits. I bind you right now. I take authority over any drug addiction. I command you to be set free from every power of drug addiction. Be set free in the name of Jesus. I pray for those believing God to get married, that it will happen for you. I pray for those believing God for children, that it will happen. I pray for those who are pregnant and are believing God for safe delivery, it will happen for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for your business. I pray that your business be empowered, that you will succeed in Jesus' name. And I pray for those whose churches have been affected and impacted by this COVID-19, and I ask that God will intervene for you. Your church will begin to respond to God's touch by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, mighty God, for your people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the strength and the power in the blood. Thank you for touching your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bishop Zeno, back to you.
Thank you so very much, man of God. We have been truly impacted by the word of the Lord in your mouth this day. To just consider what the Lord Jesus Christ left to come to us. He didn't come, you know, and stepped into the city of Dubai with all the high rises and all the beautiful stuff happening there. No, he came at a time so dark, so impoverished. What contrast to bring about a transformation in all of our lives. To hear you remind us of that this wonderful day is just a thrill in my soul, in my spirit, to know that God loved us so much that he became poor that we might become rich. Oh my. You know, so many times we live our lives not considering the truth of what he came to accomplish for us. And we grapple for things that mean nothing when there's so much more that God has for us. Thank you for speaking so powerfully into so many lives. I believe that even though this is happening virtually, and there's some that may be even here right now, that God's power was released for the healing and the deliverance and the salvation of so many. I thank God for you. I thank God that you took time to give us your time so that so many lives can be impacted all around the world. I celebrate you and I thank God for you, for the gift that you are to our world. Thank you so very much. Amen. I'm going to continue ministering to the people.
Amen.
But I want to, once again, my wife and I, Pastor Maria, the Congregation of Glory and Peace, Mike Zeno Ministries, worldwide, just want to thank you for this time. We really appreciate you. May God continue to cause you to flourish and blossom and impact lives all around the world in greater dimensions and with a greater anointing, with a move of his glory like never before. May God surprise you in 2021 in amazing ways. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And please extend our warm greetings to Mama, First Lady, and to the saints at Perez. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen.